Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
I think both you and Josh McDaniels earlier this year had some comments similar about, there's good plays or there's plays you learn from. Like, that's sort of the options when you're out there. In terms of that interception at the goal line in particular, is that an example of a play you learn from, and that experience maybe will change the way you approach a similar situation in the future?
Yeah, I think you learn from any interception you throw. You know, I think it's unfortunate how it got tipped. And, I was trying to throw kind of a little, back shoulder ball to Booty. It would have been a touchdown. So maybe given a different ball flight to it. It was my learning down there, but really I wouldn't change my decision down there throwing it. So it's unfortunate that a good player got his hands on it, and but from there I wouldn't change my decision.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It is a Tier Tuesday. People are upset about the tiers.
I think people also like the tears. People enjoyed the tears.
Send that.
There is some agreement.
Send any criticisms at Keefe21.
No, leave me alone.
On Twitter, at Jones, WEEI, at Jones and Keefe. Normally, on a Tuesday, we're talking to Tommy Curran at High Noon. He joined us at High Noon Brazil time earlier today.
That's right. We already spoke with him.
Also known as 11 o'clock. So if you missed any of Tommy Curran or you tuned in looking for him, check that out on the Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. Use the rewind feature. Go back and listen. You can also listen live on the iHeartRadio and tune in apps. You can go back and listen to Drake May while you're there as well. That was him on WEEI Afternoons yesterday. I didn't like that answer. I feel like he contradicted himself and kind of brushed aside turnovers all in one answer. And it makes me wonder if he really, truly gets it when it comes to the turnover issues that have plagued him, Keith. And I think he looks much better this year. We'll get into his overall development and the trajectory of his career. I think he's still on a good track, except for these pesky little turnovers that continue to haunt him. And he just said, well, yeah, maybe I got to put a little more air under it. Maybe I got to pick a different flight path, whatever he said, but I'd still make the same decision all over again, which that's not what I want to hear after a couple of brutal turnovers in an even worse loss.
Yeah, you hope he meant like, hey, that was the right read or as far as like the right player to throw to. And rather than tucking it and running or throwing it away, like I still would have thrown it to that receiver, but maybe would have done something differently. But no, I mean, this is the biggest thing that he has to get out of his game is the turnovers. So he had the pick in the end zone. He had another near pick, and then he had a really bad fumble, which there was no play to be had there, right? Like he was all gobbled up and he was like trying to either get rid of it, he's trying to do something, and then it leads to yet another fumble. Guy had a ton of lost fumbles a year ago.
Well, and when we talk about early career Josh Allen,
yeah,
and we'll get into some of those numbers specifically, Josh Allen fumbled a ton early in his career, and he would have some of those plays where he's like you mentioned the Texans playoff game earlier in the show, Keith, where he's trying to lateral to just nobody. It's pretty much what Drake did on the fumble yesterday, or on Sunday, rather. So it wasn't just, and Curran said this earlier too, it's not Derrick Henry getting the ball knocked out by Aiden Hutchinson, who came flying in out of nowhere and punched the ball out clean.
You know,
Drake May was trying to pitch the ball to somebody like a moron.
Yeah, he was trying to make a play that wasn't there, and kind of lucky that it wasn't like a scoop and score or something along those lines. But so That's two brutal turnovers, maybe almost a third. And I don't know, like, we're going to compliment the guy for having a clean game against the Dolphins. You got to then say, all right, well, what was the problem in the next game? And I know people want to make excuses for him and say, wow, a ball was tipped and this, that, and the other thing. And hey, there were other turnovers. And you're right, there were other turnovers. But we also don't even want Ramondre to play next week. So, like, I think the whole team needs to take care of the ball better. Drake May is not going to get benched for a fumble, right? That's not going to happen. No. It would have to be so many, and it would have to be so over the top, because, like, this season is really all about Drake May's development and having him ready to, like, you know, turn into this great quarterback. And we've seen signs of it. It just hasn't been consistent enough. But, yeah, you hear him, and you're like, there is that fine line that I think all quarterbacks, especially like playmaking quarterbacks, have to kind of figure out is when's the play there, when is it not? You know, you are going to turn the ball over trying to make some big plays, but you better make a ton of plays on top of that to sort of balance the scales.
Yeah, somebody sent me this Doug Kide tweet earlier today, and it does summarize the turnovers for Drake May and the category that he's in for turnover-prone quarterbacks. For instance, Kide started with last year's quarterback draft class, which I like May in that class. And I take him over a lot of these players, but specifically when it comes to turnovers, he's the second most turnover prone. J.J. McCarthy turns it over two times a game. He's only played two games, and he already got himself hurt after missing last year. Drake May's next on that list, 1.19. That's more turnovers than Spencer Rattler, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. All of them turn it over less than one time per game. Jaden Daniels is less than one time every two games with the turnovers. So between picks and fumbles, he's the second most turnover prone in that class.
Yikes.
Other active QBs at 1.19 turnovers per game, Keith. This is a bad list.
Let's hear the list.
Jameis.
All right, no longer a starter.
Jameis, real fun.
30 interception season.
He'll put up a lot of numbers, but
30 pick season.
But my God, will that guy turn it over?
Yeah.
Okay, so Jameis. Will Levis.
It stinks, doesn't start.
Sam Howell. Drake May's good
stinks,
college
doesn't
buddy.
Doesn't start.
Bailey Zappe.
Stinks, doesn't start. So they're either not in the league or they don't have a starting job.
Those
are like third string quarterbacks.
Other quarterbacks he turns it over more than Trevor Lawrence, Anthony Richardson, Josh Dobbs, Joe Flacco, Sam Darnold, Nick Mullins, Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford's a good quarterback on that list. I know you don't like him.
No.
Josh Allen is at 0.96, which is where he was at after his first 2 years in his career, less than a turnover a game. So by the end of year two for Josh Allen, as much of a mistake-prone quarterback as we think that he was and as turnover-prone as he was turning it over less than once a game by the end of year two.
So,
Drake May needs to learn that as the year goes along. He's starting out behind the eight ball. He turned it over a lot last year. He turned it over a lot on Sunday. He needs to cut that number down as the year goes along, or else he's going to be with the Jameis Winstons and Will Levises and Sam Howells of the world.
Yeah, none of those guys start anymore. Like, right? Like, not only are you on that list with them, but you're not like, well, what are they doing? How many games are they winning? They're not winning any. At this point, they're not even playing. I think, to me, the fumbles are even more concerning than the picks. I know this interception was really bad, specifically because it was a really long 90-plus yard drive. You get down in the goal line, and you throw a pick in the end zone. So that should have been points. So I'm not saying that wasn't a horrible interception. But overall, with a lot of these great quarterbacks, no matter who it is, they know when the play's not there, and when they get sacked, they at least live to play another day. Now, maybe it's a punt or whatever, but it's not a fumble, give the ball to the other team. And that has been, that's to me more concerning, because right now he's actually on pace for 28 touchdowns and 11 picks.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Me too.
That's actually really good. And
how many fumbles, though?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So like 11 picks, you don't want all 11 in the end zone and whatever
but
else.
But if he's got 9 fumbles and it's 20 turnovers, that's way too high.
Way too high.
It's 28 and 11, I agree. That's a good ratio.
And I don't think that's too much to ask for. Like, a lot of great quarterbacks who obviously have the ball in their hands every single offensive snap don't have 6 lost fumbles or 9 fumbles or whatever else it is. And that includes guys that run around all the time. And so even if he's not running around all the time, he's running around a little bit, you just need to know, and like the whole offense needs to know, all right, he's going to take a couple sacks a game, but he holds on to the ball during those sacks. Like that I think, if he takes that out, I can live with some of the picks, because all quarterbacks throw interceptions, but it's just the sheer amount of fumbles, which is pretty devastating.
The book is out, by the way, on the Patriots. Yeah. And, you know, that includes Ramondre Stevenson, Antonio Gibson. It also includes Drake May. This caught my eye after the show yesterday. Florio talked to Cam Hayward. Who, didn't you get flack for highlighting Cam Hayward going into the game? Didn't you? People are like,
oh, somebody did.
He's 40 years old, Keith.
Oh, yeah. I was like, he's really good because we were talking about guys we would want off the,
off
Steelers,
the Steelers.
And we both said DK Metcalf, but I was like, well, other guys I would at least mention are Hayward and Watt.
The guy was out there dominating on Sunday.
He's good.
Yeah, he's old, but he's good. So Florio talked to him after the game by phone, and he said, we practice a lot on our turnover circuits, punching the ball, being aware of different opportunities to create turnovers. Like, I know Mike Vrabel says they're going to practice this stuff. I don't believe they do. It sounds like the Steelers actually do with Mike Tomlin. The Patriots barely practice. So when he says, well, we're going to practice, we're going to continue to practice the crap out of ball security with Ramondre Stevenson, I don't believe him.
Yeah.
Like, Tomlin sounds like they actually practice this in Pittsburgh. And this is coming from a guy who last week I said I'd take Vrabel over Tomlin. Wrong.
Yeah.
And we knew there were a lot of career fumbles on the other side. So, you know, knowing that and practicing that, we were well prepared for the opportunities. Florio asked if he was talking specifically about Ramondre. He said, oh, we were aware every time he was in the game.
Hmm.
And that's not anything on him, and it's not just him. Drake May has turned the ball over earlier in his career, and a couple of the other guys as well. We were really locked in on this group that turns the ball over, and it's about making sure you're there for the opportunities and you have a good chance to punch it loose. The book is out. They're loose with the football.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just Ramondre. That's Drake May. The only other guy he mentioned by name was Drake. So not only are we talking about it here and it's self-evident you got to clean up the turnovers, the book is, hey, get in there around Drake May. He's probably going to fumble it.
I bet he was also throwing Gibson in there, too.
I think so, too. He didn't say him by name,
no,
but I agree.
The way he was talking about it where, you know, don't just single out Ramondre, but that is a concern. Gibson didn't fumble much last year, but with Washington, that was an issue for him.
He lost his job in Washington because of fumbles,
And then Stevenson, we all saw it firsthand how bad it got last year. And then even with Drake May, and we would kind of try to look the other way with Drake May just because you're like, all right, he's a rookie quarterback, and the offensive line is abysmal and this, that, and the other thing. But you got to clean that up because you can't have three guys that are constantly carrying the ball all lead the league in fumbles. Like, you're not going to win that way. Look how close all these games have been, and probably most of their games will be. Even Carolina. Carolina is probably going to be another close game. So if you have three, four, five turnovers, like, you're not going to win.
No. And look, and last week, by the way, Carolina won because Penix kept turning it over and over and over
again.
Yeah, they
took advantage of it.
And they turned into pick sixes, and Atlanta lost 30-0.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, there's two areas that bother me with Drake May, and I think he looks better this year. Like, we talked about this earlier. I actually feel pretty good about his big picture development outside of the two areas. They don't win enough, and he turns it over too much. And so we can look at all his stats look great. And we got a text about this earlier today. You guys hate Caleb Williams. That's actually me who hates Caleb Williams.
I was going to say,
Keith actually likes Caleb a lot.
I'm a big Caleb Williams
and
guy.
And I thought Caleb was great on Sunday. Cowboys defense is trash, but I'll give it to him. He looked good on Sunday.
Awesome. Yeah.
But Caleb Williams, to me, is a good example of a quarterback who I can't believe how good his numbers were as a rookie when you just look at him on paper. And then you watch him play and you're like, oh, that's why they lose every week. And he makes boneheaded decisions in the wrong spot. And you can't be that guy if you're Drake May either. So we can feel good about the statistical development. He feels more comfortable running the offense and when to run and when to tuck in and run. And he doesn't feel like he's just panicked, which makes sense. He's in year two. He's not in year one. He has, in theory, what should be more competent coaching than he did a year ago. So all that makes sense. But if you're still crapping your pants in the biggest moment and it leads to losses, what do the stats really matter?
Absolutely. And so it all kind of adds up together. Like, you want to see the stats with the wins. You want to see all of that. And right now, like, he was a big reason why they won week two. And he was a reason why they lost in week three, right? Like, he wasn't the sole reason. But he had two massive negative plays, which hurt the team. And that's something all year long we're going to be keeping an eye on. Like, where does he rank amongst quarterbacks in turnovers? Because that's going to be something that's solely on him.
Look, I do feel good about his development through three games, though. Like,
yeah, I do, too.
He's better than he was last year, which means he is developing. What does that mean? And what is he as a big picture? Like, will he be top 10, as you were just saying, top 50, whatever that'll be? I don't know. Can he iron the turnovers out of his game like Allen did in year two over the course of time? Maybe. And if he can, we'll feel better about it. If he can't, no. But I do feel like he's made some strides from his rookie year. But Sunday wasn't good enough. And I hope we can all agree on that. Maybe he gets it back on track against what is, against the run, a historically bad defense a year ago in Carolina. And still, last week aside, a pretty bad Carolina Panthers defense. So there are plays to be made for him this weekend. We were doing this earlier. Nick, I don't know if you have the numbers in front of you again. If you can break out the...
The Nick Stats and Info Department was on one
today. The binder?
Today.
Or, I'm sorry, the notebook there, the notepad?
Uh-huh.
He had some actual stats from Nick Stats and Info, as he said.
It's good.
Comparing Josh Allen through three games year two, where he was 3-0, and Drake May through three games year two, where he is 1-2.
Yeah, so Josh Allen through three games had 5 touchdowns and 5 turnovers in his first three games in 2019, because that's his second year in the league. And he also had just flat out 4 fumbles. So he put the ball on the ground 4 times in 3 games. Drake May, already 5 touchdowns, 6 total. He has like almost 900 total yards with 3 turnovers.
Okay.
With a 20% or a 20 point better passer rating, 101 to 85.
Okay. And more accurate, higher quarterback rating.
72 to 64 or something like that.
More touchdowns, fewer turnovers, and more total yards.
Well, so yeah, and this
that's
is why
three games in year two.
I mean, I have a short memory too, but I think people forget what Josh Allen was his first year and change, first 2 years even in the league. Because right now,
yeah, look at this. He was not good the rest of that season. He completed 58% of his passes. He had 6 games under 200 yards passing.
He was a punchline in that playoff game against Houston.
Yeah,
I do remember
terrible,
that.
But how they won these games.
But then there was like an unreal leap forward in year three. When they got Steph Diggs, he overnight turned into like one of the best players in the league. But that year, there were times, the game against the Patriots, I remember the talk out of that was the Bills might draft a quarterback this year. That's how bad he was. What was it, week 4, week 5?
Yeah,
week 4, he turned the ball over 3 times.
Yeah.
And he did fumble again.
And it was one of those things where you're like, well, the Bills are actually pretty good, but they might not have a quarterback because they were still winning games. The defense was good. It was early on with McDermott. But you're like, well, the quarterback's hurting you. And then the next year, like, holy smokes, he went from like the 25th best quarterback to the 5th best quarterback. He like shot up the rankings.
We looked these up earlier, and I can pull them back up if you'd like. But May compared favorably to Justin Herbert after 3 games in year 2 as well. Now, Herbert was 2-1 in those 3 games. Drake's played trash teams. Herbert was 2-1 in those 3, but he's on a good track and good company there. But to be where those guys are, there's a lot of work to his game. He's got to start winning. Herbert won 9 games by year 2. Allen won 10 and was in the playoffs by year 2. You could say the team did it in spite of him, but that's what happened. May's got to start racking up wins and he's got to start cutting down the turnovers. And if he doesn't, I personally don't really care what the stats look like. Jake is in Boston. Hello, Jake.
What's going on, guys? Well, first and foremost, some food for thought. If the Mike Vrabel era doesn't work out, Nick Saban's daughter just moved to Boston. So, you know, we could get Nick Saban. Who knows?
Oh.
Revisionist history, though. Because you're talking about quarterbacks in year 2. So let me give you one. Drew Bledsoe in year 2, 1994, saw him throw for 4,000 yards, 25 touchdowns, 27 picks. I think he had a better supporting cast than Drake May did. Drake May's stats through 3 games pace out to, over the season, 28 touchdowns, 11 picks, better completion percentage. And so you look at all that and you're like, why do I feel better about Drew Bledsoe's second year than I do about Drake May? And I went back. Drew opened in 94 going toe-to-toe with Dan Marino, week one. Jim Kelly.
Yeah.
Awesome game. And then if you look at the receiver that Drake May had his number one receiver in Tez Walker at North Carolina. And Tez Walker and Drake underachieved there. You could say they underachieved with the talent they had around them at Carolina. Well, Tez Walker, you could have drafted in the 4th round. You could have given him a wide receiver he could have been on the same page as. You didn't. You took Javon Walker instead. So Drew's middle of the 94 season wasn't great, but if you're comparing apples for apples, why do I feel so much better about Drew's season in 1994?
I don't have 94 in front of me. Didn't they win like seven?
My point is my point.
Didn't they win 7 in a row to make the playoffs at the end of that year?
Yeah, they went 10-6, then lost in the playoffs.
They lost to Belichick. Bledsoe had and the Browns. Bledsoe had the crazy game against the Vikings where they aired it out.
He led the league in passing yards. He also led the league in picks.
I was going to say, maybe there were some better individual. The game against Marino was great to start that year. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And so maybe there were better individual moments. The team was better. I do think they had more around Bledsoe, I think, that year, although maybe that's revisionist history because we know what a lot of those guys turned into. The year before, they were a bad team when Bledsoe was a rookie in 93.
The leading receivers on that team were
Timpson and Brisby?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Coates.
But the wide receivers were Michael Timpson and Vincent Brisby.
Yes.
Who were both under both 900 yards.
Marion Butts stunk.
Marion Butts.
No pun intended. Stinky Butts.
Yeah, it's 700 yards rushing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that wasn't, like, a great team. But, I mean, yeah, Bledsoe ended up being a really good quarterback. He was the number one overall pick on the draft, too. Yeah. Like, he was expected to be really good. Like, I mean, I think
by year two, Bledsoe had Ben Coates, not a lot else around him, actually, now that we're really digging in, at least on offense. And by year two, they were a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about with Drake May. I asked this when he was drafted.
He had a Hall of Fame coach.
He did. That's true.
Team Hall of Famer, too.
That's a good point.
As it turns out.
I mean, May has a team Hall of Famer as a coach.
Yeah, a player, though. Yeah, right.
If May has – we asked this almost right when he was drafted, and Mego and I at the time disagreed on that. If May is Drew Bledsoe, if he has that level of career, is that enough?
Yes. What do you mean? You're making a face?
I'm making a face. So I don't think that's enough.
Multiple-time Pro Bowler and a team Hall of Famer and got to a Super Bowl? Yeah, I'll take it. Got to a Super Bowl as a starter. Also helped win an AFC Championship game when he was a backup, so he came in there, too. He was a part of that team. I know he obviously was a Brady team, but you know what I'm saying? Like he had a big moment, at least, or a big game in that run, but was the starting quarterback on a Super Bowl team after the team had been trashed for a couple years.
What was Bledsoe in his time? Was he like a top 10 quarterback in the league?
Oh, yeah, I would say so. Wouldn't you?
How many Pro Bowls did he make? You just said it. Three.
I said multiple. Let me look up for sure.
In New England?
In his career, he was a four-time Pro Bowler.
Were those all with the Pats?
Three with the Pats, one with the Bills.
Drake's already got one, so.
His first, well, right. These were more real Pro Bowls. His first year in Buffalo, he was a Pro Bowler.
I don't know if that's
after
enough.
After he left here.
I don't know if that's enough. And
I'll take it.
That's a wildly high bar. I acknowledge that. Bledsoe's the second greatest quarterback in franchise history. But,
like, how many quarterbacks are even in the team Hall of Fame? Three or whatever it is? Like, I would say that's pretty good.
Are there three in there?
Or two?
I don't even know. I don't know either.
Well, one guy has a statue. He's sort of, he was,
I know that much. I mean.
But, no, I mean, I think it's a good, like, gatekeeper line. Like, you don't want him to be worse. And if he's better, like, holy smokes, I think you really hit it. But if he has the same career, obviously the stats are going to look a little bit different. But Bledsoe also had a bunch of winning seasons. Like, yeah, I would take that.
Text line is not happy with Jacob Boston's take.
Oh, they're
not?
They
say 93 passing stats don't compare with 2025. Holy
crap. That's also true.
Do you remember Nolan Ryan throwing a baseball?
He could throw 100 miles an hour and then give Robin Ventura a little noogie.
617-779-7937. You brought up the coaching that Bledsoe had in 94. I don't think Drake May is getting anywhere near
that level
of coaching. Where is the Mike Vrabel impact? Let's get to that right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. Red Sox are back on the field tonight for the first of three against the Blue Jays in Toronto. First pitch from Rogers Center is at 7:07. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Mike Monaco right here on 93.7. And across the Shaw's and Style Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Lucas Giolito will get the start in the series opener for the Sox against the Jays' Kevin Gausman. Don't forget to tune into the Mass Mutual Red Sox pregame show at Christian Arcand at 6:07. Last night on Monday Night Football, the Detroit Lions got the 38-30 win over the Baltimore Ravens. The New England Patriots are off today. The Pats will return to practice tomorrow to begin preparations for Sunday's matchup against the Carolina Panthers. David Pastrnak returned to Boston Bruins practice yesterday for the first time this season, and tonight the Bruins preseason schedule continues. The Bees are in New York to take on the Rangers. Puck drop is at 7 o'clock. FindMassMoney.gov wants to help you with your game day ritual. You could have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that never got to you. Go to FindMassMoney.gov today. It's a secure website. It takes only 30 seconds to search your name. I'm Billy Laney. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha! Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app and take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
They need to stop playing like jackasses, all right? They do that, they might start winning some games, all right? Let's call it what it is. Like, they played like jackasses way too often, and you did not think that was going to be the case this year.
They are playing like jackasses. I'd agree with Bedard on that one.
Yeah, hard to argue. It's been a rough patch. Turnovers, penalties, you name it.
I don't think Vrabel would even agree with that, by
the
way.
No, he wouldn't.
I think Vrabel would be like, nah, we're getting some bad calls here and there.
Buzzard's luck. Buzzard's luck.
So I think they're playing like jackasses, and I don't think Vrabel has helped even one little bit with his messaging around the penalties. Like, Kalavon Chasen's a good one. Curran brought up Chasen, and after the game 2 weeks ago, the win over Miami, he was, you know, talking about how the refs were kind of over-officiating on him lining up offsides. And then the first defensive play on Sunday against Pittsburgh, he's not lined up in the neutral zone, but he's leaping offsides. And it's like, man, nice. You brushing that aside
right,
as a head coach and a guy who's supposed to be order, discipline, to use Curran's terminology, Parcellsian. And then you just come in and you brush it aside, and then the very first play defensively, you got guys jumping off sides.
Yeah.
And you have a million penalties to start that game before you start to button it up, which he was taking credit yesterday with Greg for buttoning it up. He's like, well, as the game went along, we took less penalties. Yeah, you still took all the ones early in the game when Pittsburgh, you couldn't stop them.
You were down 14-0.
Because you kept committing penalties.
Yeah, good change.
How are we brushing that aside?
No, you need to be more ready to play, too, and they haven't been. And not only, and we had a caller bring this up about Mayo. Like, Mayo is a punchline, right? Like, it's like unanimous. Mayo, bad coach. All right, well, Vrabel has the same record through the first three games, and he has better players.
Yeah.
Like, Mayo didn't have Milt the Stilt. He didn't have, I know he's not off to a great start, but, like, Robert Spillane's better than what you had.
He didn't have
Carlton Davis. Didn't have Drake May. He was using Jacoby Brissett at that point.
May was on the roster, but he was starting Brissett.
Didn't have Steph Diggs. Didn't have, you know, Travion Henderson. And you can argue, you know, how good and bad those guys have been, but just on paper going into the season, we did this exercise before. Every position group is better. Now, maybe it's not all leaps and bounds better, but every single one across the board is better. And to be even less disciplined is pretty wild because this is not a first-year head coach. This is a guy that has a track record to fall back on. He was able to pretty much fill out his coaching staff, with the exception of McDaniels, with guys that he wanted. But even McDaniels is a long-tenured coach in the NFL.
Yep.
You would think a lot of these issues wouldn't be there for this team. And you can point to, like, if they end up missing the playoffs by a couple of games, you're going to be like, well, were they ready to go in the Vegas game?
No.
Were they ready to go in the Pittsburgh game?
No.
And I'm guessing those are going to be two teams that are also not in the playoffs. And you're going to say, wow, those were very winnable games at home early in the season that they just weren't really disciplined enough for.
The one thing I think that was clear by week three with Mayo, because remember, I had them for 9-10 wins trying to figure out ways to get them into the playoffs after week one against the Bengals. What was clear by week three with Mayo that is not as clear yet with Vrabel, although I wouldn't say they're trending in the right direction. By week three, it's like, well, they peaked week one.
Yeah.
They were okay week two. They blew the game. And then by week three, they were losing to Aaron Rodgers on a short week on Prime.
What did they lose, like six in a row? They were on their way to a big streak.
They lost six in a row, correct.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kraft is bragging about how he hired Mayo 5 years ago on Prime, and then they go out and lose 24-3 against Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
Yeah, this is better than that.
It was pretty clear early that Mayo and the team was getting worse and worse each week. I'm not saying they're getting better each week with Vrabel. They certainly got worse than week two, but I don't feel like it's as much regression as it was a year ago, but I also don't feel like they're taking any steps forward. They're still getting penalized and turning it over and way too soft for stretches on defense. And yeah, I mean, I would say that they're not getting worse like they were a year ago, but I can't say they're getting any better either.
No, and that's why I think this week is so pivotal. It's a very winnable game against Carolina. You had a couple of things that you need to correct, at least a couple of things, but a couple of specific things. And what are you going to do? You know, how do you go about coaching Ramondre Stevenson and Pop Douglas specifically, even to a lesser degree, somebody like Antonio Gibson? Like, what kind of changes do you make? What kind of messages do you send? And I think that could go a long way, not only for the rest of this season, but hopefully for seasons beyond this. Like, I think this is a pretty critical point. If those guys don't get disciplined at all, and we had Karn on last hour, it's so true. If Ramondre Stevenson plays on Sunday and he fumbles, what's the reaction going to be? Yeah, you're going to be mad at Ramondre, but you're going to be like, how did Mike Vrabel put him out there?
We'll say the same thing we said last year about Mayo when he kept rolling it's Ramondre like out week after week after week.
It's like a bad reliever, right? A bad reliever keeps getting shelled. At some point, you stop blaming the reliever and you're like, hey, manager, why did you go to this guy? He can't get it done.
And I'd add Pop to that list too. I don't even need Pop on the team. Never mind out there on the field on Sunday. And after listening to Curran, I think he's going to be out there on Sunday.
Pop, I would say so, yeah.
Now, look, Curran and Phil specifically were two that were very high in the offseason on Pop Douglas. Like, he's going to be their number one. He's going to be an ideal fit.
He's already their number four. Yeah. He's already their fourth receiver prior to him running the wrong way on a fourth and one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think he's going to be elevated after the performance on Sunday.
We'll see. I don't think so either.
If anything, Kyle Williams should pass him by.
He should. But again, I'm not...
No,
he probably won't play more, but he shouldn't even be out there.
I agree. He should also. He and Ramondre can watch the game together in the suite.
That'd be nice for him.
Yeah.
By the way, we do have pretty big breaking news out of the NFL.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart, maybe you saw this coming, is going to be starting for the Giants.
Yeah. Did you see some of the back and forth with Daboll yesterday?
Yes.
Or at least like read the transcripts?
Yep.
Like that was one where it's like, I don't want to announce a quarterback change right now, but like, I'm announcing a quarterback change.
And he's like, we're just going to do what we normally do.
Yeah.
And one of the writers there was like, well, you normally know who your starter
is. We're just looking at it.
Yeah.
Let me take a look at it. Yeah. Tough start. So they're 0-3. This is the last move that he has.
So this is what I was just going to say. I mean, I didn't love Jackson Dart. In the draft process,
yeah.
He wasn't one of the quarterbacks I liked a lot in this class, so we'll see who's right about that. But the first coach, who did we all have first coach fired?
I had Daboll.
You did have Daboll.
Yeah, McDaniel, I think a bunch of you guys had. I went with Daboll. I had Daboll last year.
Was it me and Lanny had
McDaniel?
I think we both had Mike McDaniel.
I had the Seattle McDonald.
Oh, you had McDonald.
Right.
I'm sorry, maybe that's what it was.
Oh, no, we had McDaniel.
Okay, me and Nick had it. Anybody have Brian Callahan? Because Brian Callahan has also relinquished play calling duties. So, like, I'd say right now those are the three coaches that can get fired.
I ended up on Titans Twitter yesterday, but I've never seen a more angry fan base at the head coach.
Yeah, the Titans Twitter?
At some point, we should have a conversation about what Nick does in his free time.
I'm really not all that concerned.
He's breaking down.
He's doing homework about Josh Allen.
Homework. He's on Titans Twitter.
He's something to do. The Red Sox were on.
I know he's like Titans elbows Twitter. Deep in defensive run save metrics.
No, that's true. Stop looking at those. Roman Anthony's not playing.
He stopped checking Kyle Harrison Worcester game logs. He doesn't know how to do that anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
I got a lot of time in the morning.
At some point, we got to get in the trust tree and find out what Nick's doing. But I'm sorry, we talked over it. What's going on Titans Twitter?
Oh, they want him long gone.
Okay. All right.
Basically, how he's like the worst coach ever, so and then Vrabel could
who's
be the
on
one
the
that
hottest
fired.
Hot seat? Callahan relinquishing play calling duties. It sounds like McDaniel somehow survived it.
Well,
or
just because he played tough against Buffalo, they still lost.
Yeah.
But they're like, right, guys didn't completely.
Yeah, but
quit
on him. 10 days, that was the time to do it. Like now, I kind of think he's gonna have
for
some
at least
time.
A few more weeks.
Yeah.
I think it could be Daboll. Maybe you see what the dart era looks like for a couple weeks, and then you say goodbye. We had wondered, because the Patriots play the Giants on a Monday night football game, which
might be getting flexed out.
It's week 13, December 1st, Monday night football, home against the Giants. The Giants were just in primetime. Somehow, some way, they had a Sunday night game and a Monday night game.
Yeah.
And it was horrible. The game was trash.
Nice football team.
But so week 13, we already all said it was going to be dart, but this is even quicker than...
Yeah,
I mean, week four he's going to be starting?
Yeah.
Monday night football can be flexed out from weeks 12 to 17.
That's gone. Oh, don't worry. You don't have to worry about a Monday night football game then for the Pats-Giants.
So I should know. Who are they getting this week? They get the Chargers. That's been a good team and a good defense. The week after that was New Orleans, so maybe that would have been a good time to get him in there.
Yeah. Oh, Dart Rattler?
Mm-hmm.
I'd watch Dart Rattler.
Then Philly, Denver, Philly. That feels like a tough
Philly,
stretch.
Denver, Philly?
Yeah, feels
they
like
might
a
not score
stretch.
A point.
Okay. Whatever. So that's a new era there
that's
in New
rough.
York. It's the same spot the Patriots were in a year ago. When do you go to the kid?
They're
doing it earlier than the Patriots went to Drake May.
But we just saw firsthand the Steelers, and it looks like they made the right call not bringing back Wilson and bringing in Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
I mean, at least right now. Rodgers could also fall apart as the season goes on, but Russell Wilson, that was a quick. You thought you were renting him for the season. Like, you got three games out of him.
He just put up 37 points and threw for 450 yards 2 weeks ago.
Did you see the first and goal situation this past week?
Yeah, I saw it.
It was amazing.
No, and just the way the crowd had completely turned on
him. They hate him. They hate Daboll. They're done. So, like, Daboll had to do this to save his job, but even this is going to be. He's got to get some results out of him, or he's going
to
be gone.
Yeah, I mean, say this about the Giants. At least they have the wherewithal to go to their rookie quarterback faster than the Patriots did a year ago.
Yeah.
So we'll see where this goes. But he might be paying for it with his job soon, meaning Daboll, which maybe frees him up to be a play caller here someday. 617-779-7937. We got all your thoughts there. We'll get back to the Red Sox. Maybe another thought on Tatum coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. But on the way next, Tuesday, 1245, which means it's time for the Madness, Kiefer Madness.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating canvas sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How are you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now? It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe is a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
To be able to poop on a car like that was impressive, but it was disgusting at the same sense.
Fat chance.
He takes the spleens and spreads their fat to get an average 6-month temperature and precipitation forecast.
Best gag is you're going to get around here.
All right, time for the madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And Jones, today we got a story from South Carolina.
Oh.
Never been to South Carolina?
The in-laws live in Charlotte, Bragg.
Sick Bragg, bro.
And that's, yeah.
It's in North Carolina, I believe.
It is, but it's it's right above the South Carolina line.
Makes sense.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Yep.
South Carolina. Always curious about East Carolina and West Carolina. I'm not as well versed on where those
check in, but Charlotte's a lot further south than you'd think.
Okay.
Within North Carolina.
Good to know.
So bottom of the North Carolina tier.
Sure.
Really be the top of the South Carolina tier, a little above it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Let's find out what's going on down there.
I'm Kaylin Richards. Continuing coverage out of the PD, a teaching assistant at West Florence High School is facing charges after.
All right. We have a.
Charges.
Facing charges. A teaching assistant at a high school is facing charges.
Okay.
That's never good.
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
And there may be some, sadly, maybe some obvious things it could be. Do you have a guess as to what we might be dealing with down here? A teacher in a school.
I know. Some sort of contraband.
Contraband.
Yeah.
Okay. Like anything specific?
Drugs.
Drugs.
Yeah.
It could also mean drugs.
Yeah.
A teaching assistant at West Florence High School is facing charges after authorities say he caused a mysterious and disruptive odor at the school for weeks.
Okay.
Disruptive odor.
I'm sorry. Did she say mysterious?
A mysterious odor for weeks.
It's mysterious.
So now he's in a lot of trouble. Yes. Yeah.
There's some terrible odors that really are not very mysterious. You're like, I know exactly what that is.
I can pinpoint that with the nose.
All right.
I don't
mysterious
need a lot of help.
And disruptive.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
32-year-old Alexander Lewis was arrested Friday. Now today he appeared in court, and that's where ABC 15's Alexis Cooper has more details.
More details.
Okay.
32-year-old Alexander Lewis is charged with disturbing schools and malicious injury to property.
The more and more news stories you watch, you notice how the setup, the end of the setup is always the exact beginning of the intro.
Yeah.
So the anchor like steals all the thunder from like the on-site reporter.
Yeah.
They're like, 32-year-old Alex Lewis has been arrested. She's like, yeah, 32-year-old Alex Lewis. Like, change the prompter.
In our update days, Keith, you ever do that where you like throw to a clip and you're like.
They say the exact same thing?
Yes.
Yeah. 100% I have.
Yeah, I've done that too. But that's, I don't know who to blame on this one.
Bill Belichick says they need more from the team.
And he's like, we need more from the team. Yeah.
that's exactly what this was.
I've done
that. Cooper has more details.
Yeah.
32-year-old Alexander Lewis is charged with disturbing schools and malicious injury to property. Deputies say Lewis, a teaching assistant at West Florence High School, used a spray he bought online to mimic the smell of feces.
Mimic the smell of feces.
Now, I gotta be honest. It's not real feces, Jones. He's mimicking the smell. So he bought something online.
All right.
Which I think is important.
If you're watching today on YouTube.
Yeah, we're on YouTube today.
Subscribe to WEEI. We're always there. Currently, that's the only place we are.
Does that look like a guy who would buy spray online to mimic the smell of feces?
All right. I know.
Not to paint with a broad brush.
I know we're all due our day in court. That man's guilty. That man.
What? Look at this guy.
That's a guilty man, is what that is.
He has cold, dead eyes.
Yeah.
He is like a full beard.
I mean, look.
Rosy cheeks.
You have the right to an attorney and everything else.
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
I mean, look, have your day in court, sir.
I agree.
But you're
that.
Guilty. Yeah. I know a guilty man when I see one. That's a guilty man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the specific detail that he bought the spray online. Like, that helps the story in any way. It doesn't matter how he got it, does it?
I mean, isn't it better? I mean, I guess I got to hear the full story.
Sure you do.
But isn't it better that he's just mimicking the smell of feces as opposed to other ways of perhaps creating it?
Gave him the thought to even say, you know what I'm going to do? These kids are giving me a hard time. I'm going to show up with online spray that smells like feces and just spray it all around the school.
Yeah.
But you're also living in that. Like, that's one where you're like, I'm just going down with the ship.
And does everybody, what's his name again?
Alexander Lewis.
Thank you. By the way, we're in Mr. Lewis's class. It smells like poop again. Like, that's a good, like, that's what you want spreading around the school?
He's like, yep.
Yep. That's the poopy smelling classroom, Mr. Lewis.
Yes, his name is actually Alexander Paul Roberts Lewis.
Alexander Paul Roberts Lewis?
That's like, right.
This makes me question everything we know about
is that
Todd.
Four first names?
Todd Connolly Early, whatever his name is.
That's four first names.
That's what Todd has.
Well, Connolly is not really a first name.
Oh, no, it was four names, though. Yeah, no, maybe yeah, not all first names. I'm sorry. Yes,
red flag.
Red flag. Yeah, you're guilty. Yes, suspect.
Deputies say Lewis, a teaching assistant at West Florence High School, used a spray he bought online to mimic the smell of feces. Investigators believe he sprayed it multiple times between August 25th and September 19th, disrupting classes, triggering health issues, and costing the district nearly $55,000 in inspections and air conditioning damages.
Ruining the AC with this fake fart spray? Like, what is that kind of madman are we dealing
with? I'm sorry. And he's not even, did I hear, not to shame the man's profession, but he's not even a teacher. He's a teaching assistant.
He's the assistant
so
to
how
the
much
teacher.
Of his teaching assistant salary is he using on this? It sounds like a sizable amount is what it sounds like.
A good chunk.
Okay.
Yeah.
The charges, sir, are going to be returnable to two different courts.
This is him in court.
The malicious injury to personal property charge is going to be returnable to the General Sessions Court on November the 19th at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
The bond for that charge is going to be $8,000.
Okay, that's $8,000.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
All right. The bond for the interfering with schools is going to be returnable to Florence Master's Court on October the 15th at 10 o'clock.
How much?
And the bond for that is $1,090. Do you understand?
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So now we're at
$1,429, $626.
That's what he's dealing with.
We're knocking on $10,000.
We're just shy of $10,000.
Yeah.
Which would be 10 Lego Death Stars.
Thank you.
If you will. I know you're trying to,
I was trying to do the math on that real quick. Yeah.
Lewis's total bond was set at just over $9,000.
We did the math
we
on that.
We figured it out already, lady.
1,000 Cirillos.
Yeah.
It was 8,000. Yeah, about roughly 1,000 Jeff Cirillos.
Good. Thank you, Nick.
For weeks, students and staff reported headaches, nausea, and dizziness from what they described as a strong gas-like smell.
Gas-like.
It's not feces.
No, not the real thing. Definitely not.
We talked to several parents over the course of several weeks.
Good.
This one sharing helped.
Look at you out there doing your job. Good for you.
This one sharing health concerns.
My son has been, his asthma has been triggered multiple times because of this, and I've had him take him to the doctor three times.
Back in August, the district sent out an email to parents saying West Florence High School's gas lines, propane systems, and air quality were inspected, and nothing dangerous was found. Now, officials believe the mystery odor was intentional and say Lewis was behind it. In Florence, Alexis Cooper, ABC 15 News.
Crushed it.
He walked into...
Is that a real person?
I don't know. He walked into court. The judge looked at him and said, is this the guy? He goes, yes. He goes, yeah, you're guilty.
Yeah, this is
that guy.
This is you. You definitely did it.
And Lewis is due back in court next month. Be sure to continue following this story with us at ABC 15 News.
All right. Well, it's a good story. It's one to follow for sure.
I don't want to defend this individual here, but was he wronged in some way? Like, why was he lashing out?
We don't know the motive.
Okay, I would like to know the motive.
I
yes,
would think
you.
Maybe he got bullied a little bit by the students. Yeah, That's tough. They gang up on you, and you're like, come on.
Yeah.
I'm an adult.
Yeah,
you should be able to pick on the adult.
Yeah.
And then he went home. He's like, I was going to get him. They're like, how are you going to get him?
That must have been like the first day of school, though. Didn't they say, like, August 25th?
Yeah,
South Carolina.
They super glued his chair.
They start early down the South.
They
so
put it,
like, the first day he got bullied, he's like, I got an idea.
Pretty much.
They put his drawers in the desk upside down. And he's cancer. Oh, I'll get him.
Wait till I stink this place up. Like, what is that going to do? Like, you also have to work there. It's a terrible plan. But there he is. So maybe we'll get an update on this.
I would like one. I mean, if we're being, I feel like we can't fully. Well, I saw the picture of him, so we can. Yeah. But largely, I'd like to know a little bit more of the backstory here.
Yeah. Well,
the origin story.
Yeah.
Really,
how this will work. You also are a big proponent of the inside job.
Yeah.
This one is.
Yeah. Case closed. Inside job.
Teacher.
Yeah.
$50,000 in damages to the AC. Ruined the AC? That's a lot of fake feces spray.
And the inspector. I think they're paying a lot
of inspector fees.
Inspectors, they need.
Yeah, you're right.
Got to grease those palms.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so they always need their payday. I think that was where a lot of that was going.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, well, that's the madness. Every Tuesday, most Thursdays, here on Jones and Keith. We'll get back to your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Let's get back to the Red Sox as well. Are you ready, Keith? For 6 days of hell down at the end of the season. We'll get to it next.
Deputy St. Louis, a teaching assistant at West Florence High School, used a spray he bought online to mimic the smell of feces.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.